Our Bible readings this morning, we have two of them. The first one is from Genesis in chapter 6, and we read verses 8 to 13, and then we're reading just one verse from Hebrews chapter 11. But firstly, Genesis chapter 6, commencing our reading in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way on the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And just over to Hebrews on chapter 11, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen. And God will bless the reading from his inspired word. Noah lived 4,600 years ago. He was a real historical person. He had a very detailed family tree. Noah's flood was a historical event. The Lord Jesus says so. The rest of Scripture says so in hundreds of references. And even geology says so. The fossil record says so. This planet on which we live is covered in sedimentary rock, that is, rocks laid down by water. Human history says so, that Noah's flood was a historical event. There are literally hundreds of flood stories in all cultures and on every continent of the planet. So we are dealing with factual history in the book of Genesis. Now that was what we covered the last time we were looking at the days of Noah, the historicity of these things. But now we are going to look at Noah the person. We'll do a character study of the man Noah. We hope in the weeks following to look at Noah's world. What was it like? What was it like? And what did Noah's world lead to? We're going to look at the ark's dimensions. It will be more technical. And the amount of animals and kinds that could fit into the ark. We'll look at the flood waters and the extent of those waters. Where the water came from. Where did it go to? Then we'll look at the aftermath of the flood. The land, the covenant, the commands. And we'll look at the facts today. The ark, the fossil record, Christ's warnings on the days of Noah that he warned us about. And then finally we will look at the message of the whole flood. But today we're going to look at Noah the person. And the first thing I'm going to say about him, and this is the first point, is that Noah descended from Seth or Seth. Well, who is Seth? Well, he's Adam's third son. First there was Cain, then there was Abel, who was the godly son. But Cain murdered Abel. Cain gave rise to the godless line of descent. His descendants murdered people as well as Cain. And they justified it just like he did. In Genesis chapter 4, you see that. But after that, Noah had another son, and his name was Seth. So the godly line continued in Seth. And Noah was one of Seth's descendants. Noah's great, 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 great grandpa was Seth. The point really that I'm making is that Noah was brought up in the godly way. He was a part of the godly line of descent from Adam. Noah's great-grandfather was so much a man of God that he was taken straight to heaven before he died. His name was Enoch. Noah's own father, Lamech, called Noah, Noah. And the name Noah means rest or comfort. Because Lamech knew that toil and hardship was a result of human sin. And God's curse upon the earth, it says that in Genesis 5 and 29. He called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." So Lamech knew about God, and he knew that the reasons that things were hard and the reasons why life was troubled, he knew the cause was human sin. Human sin had brought the curse. Lamech knew far more than many modern people. He knew far more than some Christians. Some Christians who say things like, "Oh, why did this happen to me? Why me? Why is life so hard? Why do bad things happen?" Well, Lamech knew the answer to that question. Because we live in a cursed, fallen world, and it is this way because of man's sin. A world in which we need comfort and rest. So Lamech named his son Noah. Noah. Rest and comfort. Names have great meanings in the Old Testament. A name was not chosen by the parents lightly. In Genesis chapter 5, you have a list of names in the godly line of descent. Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. That is in the order that they were born in. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enos, mortal. Canaan, sorrow. Mahalel, the God who is to be praised. Jared shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah, his death shall bring. Lamech, despairing. And Noah, rest. See the meaning of the names? Here's their order. Man, appointed, mortal, sorrow. The God who is to be praised shall come down, teaching. His death shall bring the despairing rest. That's the meaning of all the names in their order in the Hebrew. Man is appointed to mortal sorrow, but the God who is to be praised shall come down, teaching. His name shall bring the despairing rest. What does that remind you of? Reminds us of human sin and the Saviour that God sent. That's the gospel in the names of the godly line before the flood. But Noah was a part of this godly line. He had a good upbringing. God's name was mentioned in his home, and it influenced this boy Noah. And that leads us on to the next point, which is the second point. Noah, the man of God. Chapter 6 of Genesis, verses 8 and 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah, the man of God. God raised up Noah as a man who was different from his generation. He became a man of God by grace. He found grace, it says there, in the eyes of the Lord, verse 9. Grace is undeserved mercy and favour in the eyes of God. And it says that he was just, Noah was just, that is, and perfect in his generation. Just means righteous, and perfect means upright. In his generation, in the society, in the whole generation in which he lived. Here is a man who sticks out from his generation as being different. He's upright and he's righteous. God has just been saying in verse 5, the wickedness of man was very great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The world, the society, the whole generation was wicked. But among all that, here's a man who's different. Society hadn't squeezed Noah into its mould. He's upright, he's just. They probably thought he was a bit odd. Why was he different? Because when they were all walking after their drunken parties and their pleasure and their eating and drinking, as Jesus says in Matthew 24. That's what it was like in the days of Noah. When they were all walking after those things, the Bible says Noah walked with God. Noah found grace. He was righteous, he was upright, and he walked with God. Because Noah was a man of faith. Hebrews 11:7, I read to you. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah was a man of faith. He was an heir of righteousness which comes by faith. Righteousness means justified. We're made right with God. We're saved by faith. The same as the New Testament Christians are. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Noah was justified by faith. The same as Abraham was justified by faith. There is no difference in the area of salvation at all in the Old Testament when you compare it with the New. Salvation is always by faith, Old and New Testament. Noah was saved by faith. God poured grace upon him. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was righteous. He was upright. He walked with God in his generation. I give you a quote from one of the commentators. In other words, the term suggests that there was no noticeable blot on Noah's character. He stood out head and shoulders above his contemporaries. As in the case of Job, there was a completeness about his life. Within that corrupt society, he had tried to keep himself unspotted from the world. It is a sad fact that where standards have fallen in society, Christians have often followed that downward trend. Paul urges believers not to copy the behaviour and lifestyles of the sinful world. Romans 12. I wouldn't say Paul urges, by the way. He commands. Thirdly, Noah walked with God. Here is the clue why he stood out and did not get sucked down by the pressures of the world. Lay Enoch before him. He lived in close fellowship with God. And this is the remedy against worldliness. A personal, ongoing, vital relationship with God. You who are God's people. You who are like Noah. An heir to the righteousness that comes by faith. Like Noah, are you just? Are you upright? Are you walking with God in this generation as he did in his? It's not easy. Satan has all sorts of devices to lure God's people into the world and sin, to make God's people appear the same as the world, to make them blend in, to make them be unnoticed, unnoticeable. But Noah didn't blend in to the world. He was very different. And we must be different. To be like Noah, we must be different. If you were in court accused of being a man or woman of God, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Do you walk with God? This is the essence of vital religion. To daily walk with God like Enoch and Noah in our generation. So Noah was a descendant of Seth or Seth. And Noah was a man of God. Thirdly, because of that, Noah let God in, or God let Noah, my apology, God let Noah into his confidence. God warned Noah about this world. Verses 12 to 14. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way in the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. God warned the man Noah about his generation. God warned the man and told him what was going to happen. God always does that with those who are intimate with him, those that are close to him. Didn't God reveal his plans to the prophets? Didn't he reveal his plans to Moses and Abraham and Jeremiah and David and Daniel? Didn't the Lord Jesus reveal his plans to the disciples? Didn't God reveal his plans to the Apostle John about the end of the world in the book of Revelation? God reveals his plans to those that are close to him. And God revealed his plan to Noah. God warned Noah that the judgment was coming. But he also told Noah the only way to escape the ark. God does that for his people. We see from the Bible that Noah obeyed God. When he was warned, he believed it. And then he did what God told him. That brings me to the fourth point about Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. God raised this man to warn his generation. It says in 2 Peter 2 verse 5 that God spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And when it says Noah was a preacher of righteousness, the Greek word there means he was an authoritative preacher of righteousness. He was a herald. He stood and he preached authoritatively. It wasn't just he gossiped the gospel. He was an authoritative preacher of righteousness. He preached righteousness, that is justice or justification. This is the doctrine that concerns the way in which human beings may attain to a state that is approved by God. Noah preached, and he told people how to get right with God. And he told people about God's justice. He told them the judgment is coming, and justice is coming, and you need to get right with God. He was a gospel preacher, a preacher of righteousness. God raised this man Noah to warn his generation. And we must notice, and this must have been a cause of great sadness for Noah. It says in Genesis 5 and verse 30 that Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters, plural. Noah had brothers and sisters. But none of them were in the ark. Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, there were eight people in the ark. Eight people listened to the preacher of righteousness. Noah was that preacher. But not only did the society not listen to the message from God, but even the members of his own family did not listen. And I believe, if you put yourself in Noah's shoes, that this would make Noah a somber man, a serious person. I don't think Noah would have been cracking jokes every 5 minutes like some supposed Christians. I think that these things that God told him and what he preached and the lack of response from the people to whom he preached, including his brothers and sisters, these things would have weighed on his mind. These things would have burdened him. And that's why he was a preacher of righteousness. Because these things burned him. And he kept preaching this unpopular message. But the people, the hearers, didn't listen. As Jesus says, speaking about Noah's day, speaking about the people to whom Noah preached, in Matthew 24, Jesus says, they knew not. They did not pay attention. That's what it means. They knew not until the day that the flood came and took them all away. They refused to pay attention until it was too late. So Noah the person, 4 points. Number one, he was descended from Seth, the godly line. Secondly, he was a man of God, a man of faith, righteousness, upright, he walked with God and he was different from the world. Thirdly, Noah was warned of God. God warned this man about his generation. God took him into his confidence. And fourthly, he was a preacher of righteousness. This family man who was so different from the whole society in which he lived. He warned the people of his generation. He was warned by God and told to warn them. He told them of the danger of judgment. I bring this message to a conclusion. And I apply it because this always applies. No point in preaching about history. Sure, there's not. Just for the sake of it. We're not just looking at history. How does this apply to us? Well, it applies to us and it even applies to our nation. God, in all history, in every generation, has had his men and women. He has placed his people who are different from the generation in which they live. God has placed men who have preached and warned their generations time and time again. Men who have warned of the judgment that's coming. God has always had his preachers of righteousness. And Britain and Northern Ireland has had many preachers of righteousness. But for over 140 years now, the people of our land have not listened. They just want to go on, and they are going on headlong in their sin. In their materialism and their pleasure mania. Headlong in their mocking and their blasphemy. Their murder and thieving and lying. They've had Spurgeon. They've had Martin Lloyd-Jones. They still have Stuart Elliott and Jeff Thomas. And many others. But look at this generation. Ignorant. Willfully obstinate, rebellious and scornful of God and the gospel. This generation is spoken of in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 11 to 14. I'll read it to you. There is a generation that curseth their father and does not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet they are not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty, how proud are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and their jaw teeth are like knives, and they devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. Oh yes. The generation of no respect. The generation that doesn't believe in sin even though they're filthy. The generation that's proud. The generation that's aggressive and violent. The generation that is materialistic. Oh, there's a generation like that, isn't there? There always has been. Ignorant. Willfully obstinate, rebellious and scornful towards God and the gospel. And our political leaders are leading in the godlessness and the sin which they promote even in their laws. Yes, there is a generation like that, just like God says. And they haven't listened to the preachers of righteousness. They're mockers. They didn't listen in Noah's day. But it didn't make any difference to their judgment. Even though they wouldn't listen. Even though they mocked. The judgment still came. Exactly as God said. Their obstinacy made no difference at all. And they all died. And I'm simply here today to warn. And I'd warn this whole nation if I could. And I'd certainly warn our foul government. Justice is coming. Judgment is coming. You cannot murder 300 babies per day, Britain, and not face the judgment. You cannot legalize your perversion. You cannot obliterate God's word from your schools and not face the judgment. You cannot hinder God's witness of evangelism and not face the judgment. You will face the consequences, Britain. This nation is going to be judged by God. And if you are not saved, let me preach Noah's message to you. You need to get right with God. You need the righteousness that comes by faith, like Noah. And then you need to walk with God. You need to find grace in the eyes of God. You need to listen to the gospel and believe it to escape the judgment. There are many in this church, aren't there? And they sit here every week. And you might go to hell from this church. People have done that before. But you will not go to hell ignorantly from this church. If you go to hell from White Abbey Congregational Church, it will be willfully. Because if you go to hell, you'll have to pass a people, a church and a preacher that open their arms to you and say, stop. Consider God's righteousness and turn from your sin to Christ. You will have to walk past those open arms. You will have to plug your ears to the call to stop. You will have to ignore the warning to continue on the broad road to hell. It's willful. You will not go to eternal fire by accident. from this church. God is righteous. I give you the words of Jesus as I close. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But narrow is the gate, straight and compressed is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Enter the narrow gate. Will you walk past, even now, and continue on your way? I pray not. Take the message from the character of Noah to heart. Amen.